This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
It is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's straight up 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. We're supposed to be on at 11.
Beautiful blue eyes, man, but not through a screen. For the first time, I get to see him in person in a long time.
We are in the same building. We're in the same studio. We're late to our show because we did some work for the mothership. We were on ESPN Radio today, filling in for Dan Le Batard, as we were on Friday as well. So we appreciate everybody's patience with us when it comes to that. But
yeah,
Bart, here we
up,
are.
Prayers up to Miami, too. They're dealing with a lot of this tropical storm down there. I hope everybody's healthy. Everybody stay safe.
All right. In the meantime, though, of course, we will try to get calls in. We've got an hour for you, so we're going to give you what we can. And the calls, of course, are 800-919-3776. Do we want to go through the whole social media thing?
Yeah, well, they still can. Get us on the tweet at Bart and Han.
Okay.
If they can't get us on the tweet at Bart and Han, they can catch us on the Grizzam, DM Allen only.
Don't DM me.
Back, low back shots. And Bill, I know you got a game today, man, but you got a job to do because you may be out of a job or choose to leave. So tell them where else they can get us, Bill.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, there's no question about that. He's miserable right now. We will talk about that game tonight. Jets and Patriots, which used to have sizzle, used to be that kind of game where, you know, I mean, Bart was certainly part of many of them.
It was a decade when they had sizzle.
It's been a while.
Sizzle for a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah, but still, it was either, you know, a can't wait moment or a butt fumble or something crazy.
It's always interesting.
It's always interesting, and we have a feeling it's going to be interesting again tonight, although there is no Sam Darnold in the game. We'll get to that, of course, again, your calls when we can. And we'll have Rex Ryan coming up here in about 8 minutes. We did talk to him today. It's amazing how many people you can run across when you're actually in a building in the studio where everybody's milling about, running into people.
Say, cool. Right. Like, yo, come holler.
Come sit down for a minute. You know, so we'll get to Rex in a few. But on the Giants, Bart, it's one of those performances.
The fighting Joe Judges.
Yeah, the fighting Joe Judges, baby. They've got a coach. They might not know they have a quarterback or not.
Yeah.
They have a quarterback that can beat Washington. And you don't know who else they could be. But I still found that game, and you're a defense guy. And at the start of the season, we were all over their defense. Yeah. About how, like, they don't have anybody. They're not going to be good. They're going to give up. Leonard Williams on top of everybody else. Peppers, Ryan. This is a team that, and I know you want to say it's Washington, they lost their quarterback again. You know, another quarterback goes out, so Alex Smith comes in. He throws a couple of picks, one that wasn't his fault. But I'll tell you what, when do we start looking at the Giants? I'm not talking about the division now. I'm just talking about, we talk about futures all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants have a pretty good future. I don't know about their quarterback. I don't know about their GM.
Yeah.
But I really feel like they've got a coach.
I mean, you look at them at two wins, and if they don't win anymore, but listen.
But a very competitive, though. You can say what you want.
That's what I'm
very competitive.
They're in the midst of a fight. They're in the midst of a fight because with that win, they're only one game
out. Should've beat Tampa.
They're 1.5 games out of first
place. Well, that's insane.
So, I mean, they still have an opportunity, and it's one of those things like if they win and they do win this division at 6 or 7 wins, is that a good thing? Because if they continue on this trajectory and, you know, they beat, you know, Washington, which if you're going to win some games, you want to win a hated rival within the division.
Yeah.
But I know that Trevor Lawrence may be out of their realm, but Justice Fields is right there. And this kid from BYU is doing his thing as well. You know, if you don't get one of those guys, do you bring in competition maybe with your second round draft pick for somebody that can push Danny Dimes?
You mean somebody a little better than Colt McCoy? Like you're talking about?
Yeah, somebody who's getting not a vet. Give
me a vet that
I bet you.
I can rely on. Yeah. The league is littered now with quarterbacks.
Right.
And we were saying this on the show earlier. Is there was a time only a few years ago where you felt like there weren't enough quarterbacks for starting jobs in the league.
Right.
You might argue that
it's too many.
There's now a surplus of quarterbacks who you feel are starter quality, and maybe there are, you know, and there are some that are sitting around the league that are saying, I'm a starter, but yeah, I can't be a starter. Let's not forget the 1 and 2 pick from a couple of years ago's draft are backups right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Mariota and Winston. Yep. Are sitting there as backups right now.
And Cam can potentially be one next year, right? So you have Cam, you have Jameis Winston.
I don't know what Cam is, to be honest with you.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
Matthew
Stafford, he's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but it's just in a bad place,
He's just
right?
in a bad place. And I said before, I thought that, you know, maybe Patricia would trade him to the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before, for a first-round draft pick, as the Patriots are trying to rebuild. But, like, to your point, you know, Tyrod Taylor still serviceable. You know, you look at, I can't even say that with a straight face. I'm about to say Geno Smith, but I can't even say
that. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah.
But with that being said, look who's going to be part of next year's class. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be part. He's the new Blaine Gabbert. He was a starter.
He's another guy too that everybody in the Bears organization is like that Schultz is probably no good, right? But they actually need him to be healthy.
Yeah,
they need him to be healthy so they can just move on from him.
Exactly, and that's what, you know, that's what brings up tonight's game. You know, are the Jets trying to make sure that Sam Darnold doesn't do severe?
Yeah, but we'll get to the Jets again. But let's just again back onto the Giants just quickly and what we're seeing
that
from
quickly,
them.
I know. Yeah, I get that.
I understand.
All conversations circle back there.
Well, yeah, but where your head's at now, because the game is tonight. But I'm just again. Do we just base this on the fact that it's Washington? Daniel Jones has beaten two NFL teams in his career. Everybody else he's lost to. The two teams are Tampa in his very first game and Washington twice. So is it that it's Washington and they just play well? He played an immaculate game. He played a clean game. Yeah. And that is something they've been trying to get him to do. Maybe try to dial it back a little bit, not take as many risks, let the defense do what they do. I just feel like the Giants, I don't look at the Giants for skill and say they've just got all this talent and it's just going to come together. The Giants for the last how many years with Pat Shurmur, with Ben McAdoo, since Tom Coughlin left, would you ever say the Giants were a well-coached team? Would you ever say they were a team that, you know, really was ahead of the game when it comes to coaching? They normally would out-coach the opponent. No. That they always really looked like they just had the game plan and they were ready to go. Did the Giants ever look like a team that had that type of leadership on the sideline?
No, I that would be.
Do they now?
No. I think they're having I know we talked about Gettleman saying they have an adult in the room. I think that Joe Judge is the adult in the room, and I think they did a great job in surrounding him with guys with, you know, well, a guy with head coaching experience and Jason Garrett, a guy.
I'm not want to amplify
has never
my
been
situation.
About himself.
So
he's never been about himself. He's always been a guy that was worried about, you know, the team. He's not a big personality. He kind of blends into the background, and I think he's comfortable right where he is. I mean, he's a former Giant to begin with.
I'm not want
to
amplify my situation.
Once again, they went back, right? You know, they went right back to what they've used to, right? We always talk about the Giants. They always go back to somebody that they can trust. Jason Garrett being a former player there, they're able to bring him in. I think he's comfortable in his role, and he's, you know, needs a couple years off. When you be a head coach for 10 years and all that pressure, I think it's good for him to kind of step back and just focus on being a good offense coordinator, being in a support staff for Joe Judge.
Yeah, I just think, and you look at the Belichick tree, right? And there's been a lot of guys who have tried to become head coaches, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't been great. McDaniel's tried it once. We see Matt Patricia, what's going on there.
Romeo Crennel. Weiss.
Right. You just haven't seen the success you would think a coach like that would be able to start turning out great coaches.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what's happening in Miami, you can't overlook Brian Flores. Yeah. And what's happening with the Giants, although it's not resulting in big wins. It's not resulting in competitiveness. But remember how the Dolphins were with Brian Flores a year ago. Remember how it took them the first half of the season to get established, right? And then all of a sudden you started seeing, okay, this is a team, they play really hard. They are a tough team. They're a tough out. They didn't have a great record last year. Yeah. But it's just 1 year. We get our stuff in place. And then next year, now we're set up. And everybody comes into camp and they know what we expect of them. And I just feel like the intensity Joe Judge has on the sideline, yet how he treats his players too. You as a player, when you see I know we kind of mock some
Ryan
of the stuff.
Logan thing. I know some of the stuff was cheesy, like, you know, the conditioning.
Redoing the practice and all that. Right.
But you know what? This is the right person at the right time.
That's a great point.
The Giants
great
needed,
way to put it.
The Giants needed discipline and stability. A guy that was going to hold them accountable. A guy that was going to make them uncomfortable. Because in the
but league, also would fight for
being,
them.
You got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And this is a very winnable division. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't believe you're doing that.
No, I'm talking about in future years.
Oh.
Because
no doubt.
Philadelphia.
Philly's got to break up that team.
Yeah, they're $64 million mm-hmm. on the cap. They're an older team that went all in to win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. They were competitive a couple years afterwards, but now that credit card bill is due.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of advance money in advance. And now you look at, you know, the Washington Redskins, they're still trying to figure
they're
it out.
They're in a bill. The they don't Cowboys, know. They don't, what's, who's they their don't, quarterback?
Yeah, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys. Who's their quarterback?
Well,
now, are they going to pay Dak Prescott off a major injury, $45 million
and that defense needs to be completely revamped. There's a lot of questions with Dallas. There's a lot of questions in the division, so you could argue that the division in some ways is up for grabs in the next couple of years, and maybe the Giants are trying to set themselves up for that. All right, that's on the Giants, but around the NFL, a very interesting weekend of games, especially last night's game, which makes you now wonder, is there a true Super Bowl front runner? Because we thought maybe the Bucs were that and Tom Brady was that until we saw last night's game. And we talked with Rex Ryan about it earlier. And it's time for the Rex Ryan Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care and Bud Light. Here is our conversation with Rex. Rex Ryan joins us here
Sexy
on the
Rexy.
Set. And quick to remind me as I brought up how Tom Brady, for the first time, lost to a divisional team twice in the same season. I said, Bart, you guys never did that. And then Rex said,
yes, we did. Only when it mattered the most, though, in the playoffs. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
we got
destroyed on a Monday night game, 45-3. But we also won week two, and we did win in the playoffs. So, you know, regular season, we just peak in the playoffs, man. That's all.
Win the ones that matter. You would think I'd remember that, too, as a Jets fan. But anyways, we'll get back to that. Rex, we were talking about something though at the top of the show, and I'm curious what you think about this as a coach. Is this the first time in a long time I can think of, especially after watching last night, that I don't think there's a bona fide this team's definitely going to be in the big game?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, we were saying Tampa Bay's that team.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's that team. Pittsburgh lays an egg. Now, to their credit, because you can't get up for all 16 games.
Right.
They did find a way to win, which is unreal. And then when you look at Tampa, my God, you talk about they got destroyed. They got bludgeoned by the Saints, who I never thought could do that. But it also goes to show you that coaching matters. It still matters in this league. And Sean Bay and his staff, I mean, it wasn't even a contest between Bruce Arians. Yeah, but it's, look, I've been praising Todd Bowles, but he doesn't understand how you play Drew Brees.
Right.
Trust me, go back, look at who's played him well, all right? And then figure it out. Because right now you haven't played them worth a darn. And you don't understand. You do not go and play traditional zone defense against Drew Brees. Remember when we had slaughtered him? We were up. I think we had forced five turnovers.
That's when I tried to fight. That's when I tried to fight Reggie Bush.
Yeah, maybe. Remember that? And remember he said we put some hot sauce on him. He got all upset. Man, oh, man. And then later I had him, you know, in Buffalo, and he averaged minus some yards a carry and wondering why the hell. You know, we led the league in rushing. He had minus yards carry, and I'm a horrible coach. Okay, but anyway, other than that, not that it's personal. When you look at it, we gave up. Remember in that game, so we're way up on him. We forced five turnovers, and in the fourth quarter, we're said, all right, let's just play traditional zone. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
To the tune of, like, giving up 250 yards in a quarter.
Right.
Well, that's what we saw last night. You can't play traditional zones against Drew Brees. Trust me, I've done it, but only when I was way ahead.
I want to go on the other side, right, because I feel like I'm watching Peyton Manning and Kubiak all over again, as it feels like, when you think about Tom Brady, he's trying to find this healthy balance between what he likes to do and what Bruce Arians likes to do. And when I was talking about Bruce Arians and when he got ran out of Pittsburgh, because we were front and center there, it's because he was going with these seven-man drops, not really committing to the run. And you see him doing that with Tom Brady, and the protections a lot of times don't match up with the routes. So it's exposing Tom Brady, and guys aren't getting open immediately because they're putting tight man-to-man on him with safeties over the top, and he's getting hit. And you know if you hit Tom Brady early, he starts to see ghosts or hear people later in games.
Yeah, and Bart, you have a great point. I mean, that D-line, it starts with that D-line. That D-line was running off the football to the passer. Why? Because you broke an NFL record. that, I mean, it's absurd. They ran the ball five times in that game. That's the fewest rushing attempts in the history of football. Like,
with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, who are pretty great backs.
But and what's funny, just a few weeks ago, Ronald Jones had run for over 100 yards, I think three straight weeks, and then Leonard Fournette earlier in the year. So why would you abandon it, especially when you're getting beat to sleep? Mm-hmm. You got to come back and say, hey, look, let's just run the football a little bit, take a few downs off on Brady. Instead, you're putting him back there, and I don't disagree, Bart. Why? Like, what are you doing here? And to me, you have a formula and a plan going against New Orleans. Throw that one out and do anything other than what you've done the two times.
Right. That's film you throw out.
Man, I have to go. Oh, we
got
to go.
We got lots more to get to.
Man.
Just quick, yeah, but quickly, just because you're a defensive guy, and I always look at everybody's got offense. All the good teams have offense. It's the ones that have defense that are probably the best chance to win. Green Bay doesn't have one. He's talked about Seattle, the Legion with no boom. But when you look in the AFC, you've got defense. Pittsburgh's undefeated. You mentioned them. Their defense is there, but can Big Ben get them to the finish line? Are you worried about his durability?
I am worried about his durability. Look, this is not the Big Ben of old. Mm-hmm. This is the old Big Ben. Now, he is smart. He's making great decisions. Bart, we never seen him get rid of the football as fast as he is. But, look, it's just when he points to the leg and all that stuff, he can't take the hits that he used to take. And you wonder right now, excuse me, we're halfway through the season.
Right.
What is he going to look like at the end of the season?
And is Mason Rudolph be a good concern. Enough? Right?
Mason Rudolph.
I say it because that defense is championship caliber.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So your hopes might be riding on Mason Rudolph.
Well, you have no chance. If you got to play the backup, you have no chance.
I wonder. I wonder if they get a big enough lead, if they sit on the lead and give him some days, some games off. Because he reminds me when we got Steve McNair. We were so used to Steve McNair being Michael Myers, he would always just come back no matter what you hit him with.
No,
he's like Michael Myers. And that's what Ben is. He's been Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, all those guys. But now you're starting to see some chinks in the armor, and I think maybe they have to protect him from himself, because every once in a while he'll go Big Ben on you. He'll hold on to that ball. He'll pump fake five times and take one to the chin so he can deliver a pass down the field. But I think if they have a good enough lead in this division, and if you know, Baltimore still concerns me, man, because Lamar's up and down. They haven't figured it out yet. I think that maybe they should consider sitting him for a couple of games.
All right. And that's, again, why I say I don't think there's a true Super Bowl team. This is going to make it fascinating to finish. Before we let you go, Rex, and again, thanks for the time, I have to ask you about tonight's game. Patriots-Jets, Monday night, used to have so much sizzle. I mean, it was a decade ago where you were pushing them. You were almost you were trying to unseat them in this division. Now they're completely unseated, but it's not the Jets. But this game just lacks any type of sizzle at all. And does that in a little way bother you, because you loved going up against Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, because he was on the schedule. but I look at it. One time we went up on them Monday night. Both teams were 9-2. And we went out and we laid an egg. They were phenomenal in that game. All right. But and it was the worst game ever. All right. And it was the largest TV audience. Yeah. And it was the worst game ever. Tonight, we know this is going to be a bad football game. And watch, I think it's going to be a competitive
great
game.
Great ending.
I think it's going to be a great game. I really do, because you've got, look, the Patriots are a bad team, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right? So, when's the last time we could say no Stephon Gilmore? The Jets, look, you don't want to go 0-for. And especially on Monday night, the fans, we want them to go 0-for. But the team, trust me, doesn't want to go 0-for. And it's on a nationally televised game.
When you saw the banner of the game tonight. Did you have to go to research to figure out who the hell was on there for the Jets?
Bart, I'm like, who is that? And I'm asking Greeny. He goes, it's Crowder. And I like Crowder. He's a good player. But that's like having Jeremy Curley on there. Like, come on. Stop already. Like, I think they put the big tackle on there or something. You know?
Well, we know it's him. He's not playing. It's a good point. Without Sam in this game, I guess this even loses a little more of that interest. But you're right. Two bad teams, it can still end up being a great finish.
Absolutely.
That's exactly why we watch Rex again. Thanks so much. Great to see you. And that's the Rex Ryan Report, and it's brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care offers quality, affordable health insurance coverage for children and adults of all ages. Call 1-888-FIDELIS or TTY 711 or visit FidelisCare.org. Also, Bud Light. When game day is a go, there's Bud Light there. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the New York Jets. Great stuff there from Rex. So we still have one game left on the docket this week, Bart. And although we've had some, I mean, we had some really interesting games this weekend again. And we said this earlier when we were filling in on the Libertard show. Is after last night, the blowout that the Bucks took from the Saints on Sunday night.
Yeah, I've been there.
You kind of feel like, I don't know, for the first time in a long time, we don't really know if there's a bona fide Super Bowl team. Like a team where I'm putting my money down right now on this team. Because normally there is. Normally there's, in a league year, you'll have one in the AFC, one in the NFC. You're like, these two teams are on a collision course. You could say the Chiefs.
I'll tell you what,
they were
they've been a tough
this couple. Close to losing that game to Carolina, who played a really great game. But, you know, the Steelers, I told you, was a trap game. And they,
You're on point with that one. I got to give you credit. Listen, I didn't see it coming. You told me it was a trap game, baby.
But you're the one that would know Steelers Ravens. The next game is always going to be that game where it's a letdown.
But I thought the Dallas Cowboys were just trash enough that you could have put Mason Rudolph out there and been able to figure out.
Oh, stop.
Who knew that? Killing Gilbert Great would be able to play like that. Like, he played better than
that kid.
He played better than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I was happy for him. Except you and I both said the same thing. Just throw it over the top to the tight end.
Tight end right behind.
Why are you sneaking that one in?
Nice little snack. Right. He's trying to force it into CeeDee Lamb. He should throw that thing right up and tight end touchdown. But, you know, they supposed to lose.
Yeah, so it was an interesting week. And then there's one game left, and it is the Patriots and the Jets, which has had its moments. You were part of some of them.
The Stinker Bowl.
And we heard Rex talking about it, too. And you guys both took offense to me when I brought up how guys never beat Brady in the same season. And he said, oh, no, we only did it in the playoffs. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, you didn't put the
But this game right. tonight, though, as you heard Rex say, does have that potential, though, to have, like, some interest to it. But before we get into the game, let's get into the reality of where both teams are.
Yeah.
And we know where the Jets are. We've talked about it ad nauseum. And now that Sam's not playing, do you wonder if the Jets are in a place where they – when you pretty much see Trevor Lawrence sitting there as the number one pick, you're 0-8. You have the best chance to get this kid. And, you know, while Sam is one of those quarterbacks that everybody's excited about, Lawrence is someone they're considering a generational quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you reach a point when you're, even though Joe Douglas said what he said about Sam, do you reach that point where you think if we play him and he gets hurt?
Yeah.
That kind of diminishes an asset we have. When do you say we're not going to develop Sam anymore because we now have to maintain him as an asset to get the best return we can if we're all in on getting Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick?
I think they're still deciding, right? They're still deciding because it's still a scenario where they draft Trevor Lawrence and still keep Sam Darnold. Understand, you don't have to put your rookie quarterback in immediately. Sam Darnold can have an opportunity. You can have a real conversation with Sam. Sam, listen, unfortunately, it didn't work out for us here. We have a new coach. He decided to go forward with Trevor Lawrence, but we're going to give you an opportunity to raise your value as fast as possible. We're going to still surround you with a great team because you and Trevor Lawrence have similar skill sets. You guys are both mobile quarterbacks. He's just a little taller. And we're going to build this team, but we're going to let you build your draft, build your value, and then we're going to send you wherever you want to go. And it's on you. We're going to do that for you, the same as we did for Le'Veon, the same as we did for McClendon, the same that we did for Avery Williams, the same that we did for Jamal. We're going to give you the best opportunity that you and your representatives feel comfortable with, and we're going to do it just like Drew Brees, and hopefully it works out for you like it worked out for Drew Brees, as we couldn't pass on Phillip Rivers, or they couldn't pass on Eli Manning, who they really wanted.
Yeah, no, true. And speaking of Phillip Rivers, you watch Justin Herbert. 22 years old, younger than Sam.
And that's what's making it hard.
And he's putting up some numbers.
That's what's making it hard.
70 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and the only thing he's not doing is winning. And it's not his fault. Yesterday, another heartbreaker for him at the end.
But that's what's swaying, I believe, the hearts and the minds of Joe Douglas. The fact that we know that Herbert is on a team with a lot of injuries, a lot of guys in and out of lineup, offensive lineman done, but this guy is just playing and it looks special. It pops off the screen, even though the wins aren't there. We see the same thing with Joe Burrow, right? It's like he may not be winning, but man, they look competitive. Damn, they look good. And we know that they're, you know, still in their building process as well. Then we see Tua Tagovailoa come get in and we're like, oh man, they stupid. They should have never went away from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And he gives them a higher ceiling already.
They
and
look different with Tua, lead, don't they?
Right, they look different.
Yeah.
And it's like crazy because of the arm strength, because of the other things that he does that's maybe a little better. So now, if you're the Jets, you're like, man, we got a chance to get one of those guys and don't have to pay him for 5 years, opposed to pick up Sam's option and potentially pick up another $15 million on our cap when we can reset everything and start off with a clean slate. And all these young pieces that we've gotten, no different from like when they, if P. Ryan is the guy, if Becton is the guy, it's kind of like when Goff came in and they got Gurley first and then they went with the quarterback differently. They can say, hey, we did a reverse, right? You know, you look at what, you know, Gettleman tried to do. He got Saquon first and then he got Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
The Jets are in position to be able to do that, but yet they don't have anything committed as far as dollars. And they're going to be able to get good football players. Every time I watch Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm like, damn. Can he be the next Jets number one receiver?
Claypool, like, they've right. really become
right, but he's up. Team. But he's up. And mm-hmm. listen, one thing about the Steelers, they paid everybody. They got to pay Micah Fitzpatrick. So somebody got to go, right? They got the Deion Johnson guy, and they got Claypool for cheap. So are they going to pay? They're paying Ebron a little bit, but Ebron's played so well that they got to pay him big money next year. They've already paid Tua. They've already paid Hayward. They got to pay Watt. They can't pay Bud Dupree, right? The Bud Dupree's out of there. So if the Steelers are next year without Bud Dupree, without Juju Smith-Schuster, because they got to pay T.J. Watt $100 million because he's better and he's a little younger, then they're up there. Those are pieces that the Jets can get next year.
All right, so let's flip it then to the Patriots in this game tonight, because we already know the Jets are in that, you know, we the transition once again at the quarterback position where we thought maybe a couple of years ago when they drafted Sam and he fell into their lap, thank you, Gettleman, that you thought, okay, this is their guy now for the next decade, and now let's watch how they develop him. Yeah. Then they hire Adam Gase, and we all know that that was a terrible decision that continues to pay back. So now they go again into the quarterback foray. It is not something the Patriots have ever had to do for a very long time. Tom Brady decides to leave.
For 20 years.
And he left basically how the Patriots treated players, which was always to cut ties before they drop off the cliff. Well, Tom Brady decided to cut ties with the Patriots before they dropped off the cliff. And we didn't realize that when he left, that's when they were going to drop off the cliff. They have to find a quarterback. Do you feel that Cam Newton is that guy? Is Jared Stidham that guy?
Hell no.
Who the hell is the guy then? On Friday, you said they should trade for Jimmy G.
Man, they should trade for Jimmy G. They're going to be, they're considering all options. They may even consider Jameis Winston off the bench.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Jameis Winston, like, hey, if we can get him to not turn the ball over, we'll bring him in, because Drew Brees, how he's playing, may want to play another year. We know that Teddy Bridgewater got tired of waiting for Drew Brees to retire, and Jameis Winston.
And Taysom Hill is a backup quarterback who's not really a backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's a gadget guy. He's Brad Smith.
Is he a better Tim Tebow? Or is he is he what Tim Tebow should have become if Tim Tebow just said, yeah, okay, I'll do that?
He's Brad Smith.
Yeah. Okay.
Brad Smith was our Wildcat guy. He was a guy that returned kicks for us. He's a guy that blocked punts for us. And he's a guy that played receivers for us, too.
Like, he does it all.
He's Brad Smith. That's exactly what Brad Smith did. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, it's one of those things. But they have to figure out what they're going to do. And I think this is the most convenient time for Bill Belichick to give Josh McDaniels his world. Because remember, that's why he didn't take the coach job.
What world?
He didn't take the coach job. And listen, man, you know what I feel when I say that? I feel it in my gut, man.
Uh-oh. What?
I feel like we might get Andrew Luck getting come back out of retirement. I feel like he's been gone for two
People
years.
People have been
Maybe
wondering
he start,
about that.
And I wonder if Andrew Luck is going to become like that mythical person that's going to come back every year. Remember when Barry Sanders walked away?
Yeah.
And we knew it because he hated Bobby Ross and he wanted a new coach. He wanted to lead the Lions because he's just tired of losing. At 9 years of being in the league, he wanted to walk away. I feel like Andrew Luck is going to be a guy that people are going to be reaching out, trying to tug at him, saying, hey, man, come on back. It's okay. You healthy. Everything healed up. I know football isn't fun. Hopefully it can be fun for you again. I can still
see. Why wouldn't that be with the Colts, though? Why wouldn't
he? No, because I don't think he wants to go back to the Colts. He don't want to step on Jacoby Brissett's toes. I think he wants to come out and maybe get a fresh start. That's home.
If I'm the Colts, I'm like, whoa, you're going anywhere.
First of all, I would ask myself, where is Andrew Luck living? Where does he reside? and what's the most convenient thing for him and his family.
Okay.
Because that would be an indication of maybe one of these spots. You know what I mean? He's going to want to go to a spot kind of like a Peyton Manning where he's the finishing piece. I just feel that maybe Andrew Luck.
You think he's still in the conversation?
I just don't think he's done with football.
Well, that's interesting. Now, again, but we're talking about New England and where they go from here. Because you're suggesting that, which as a Jets fan, that would just make me throw up. But when you are talking about a Patriots organization that has at times had to reset, retool, rebuild, they've done that for the most part. But their core generally stays the same, and their coach has stayed the same.
Yes.
They are really, you could see it right now. Whatever happens in tonight's game, doesn't matter. They are now in it. They have a lot of rebuilding and retooling to do. And the hardest thing for them to find is a quarterback. It's the hardest thing for everybody to find.
Right.
Especially when you're not picking in the top five.
And they thought they did it. They thought they did it with Jimmy G. They thought they had the successor.
They knew they had it. Bill did.
But it's funny because San Francisco's out here. He's the right guy. So it's like, it's perspective. Because he doesn't believe that he's the right guy. Because we wouldn't have these conversations about, is he the right guy to get them to where they need to get. So that's an interesting dynamic, man, and it's going to get interesting. But the Patriots is no longer, the top of the division. I think they're behind the process even farther than Miami. And you think about it,
they may
have the worst quarterback in the division. When can you ever say that? When have you ever been able to say that about the Patriots?
That's damning.
It's
Monday night.
Can't spin their way out of it either.
No, they can't. And they've already tried. They already did that, which is what Belichick said. We maxed out to win these Super Bowls, and now we're paying for it. Tonight, it's a big stage. It's Monday Night Football, as you know, and Cam Newton is a guy that certainly does love that kind of a spotlight. Against the Jets, do you see him putting on a show? Do you think this is going to be one of those games as a Jets fan where you watch it kind of covering your eyes? Do you hate watch this game? Because without Sam, I'm watching Becton, I'm watching Mims.
I think Perriman's out of protocol and Crowder,
I'm watching,
so we're going to see this.
Anybody that I think is part of my future, is that all I got tonight?
Yeah, and tell you what. I forgot that they even drafted this guy, but I was high on him during the draft process. I'm ready to see Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall is activated off of IR.
He's the
lockdown cornerback that they got from Virginia, mm-hmm. who I thought should have been drafted a lot higher. I thought he was an outstanding football player. Let's see what he can be. Let's see if he can be one of these corners on the outside and see how he plans, play with maybe Blessing Austin and see if we have some corners of the future. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a guy that can replace Poole. Maybe he can replace Poole so they can have a cheap nickelback that can maybe take that $5 million off the books or the $10 million off the books that you're paying Poole.
Not going to be an easy game to watch as a Jets fan, but it is the Patriots. So, come on. Anybody that says I'm not going to watch,
they might throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, but that don't matter. Yeah, that's true, too. You don't even I don't even know how to feel anymore.
They won. No Trevor Lawrence. Thanks a lot.
But I'll tell you what, we do know how to pick them. We've had a very good weekend so far. Can we have another big pick here on this game? The spread is 10. We'll give you our picks and we'll discuss, because that's the one way to feel good. You can still win by losing. You can still lose by winning. No question about that.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
We normally will do a daily fantasy off games, especially a Monday night game. We do it for Thursday night games. We'll do it on, but I tell you what, Bart, I'm looking at these two teams. I'm not doing it. I don't think you, it's not. It doesn't. You're not going to make any money off this.
Well, have they broken your will? What do you mean?
Both teams.
The right time to gamble is always right now.
Tell you what. First thing we're going to do, though, is we'll do our picks, because this is we always do the Jets and the Giants. So our picks. And I'm trying to go 3-0 now this weekend, man. I've had a little bit of a run here. I don't know if you'd noticed. That Carolina, by the way, how about that?
You called it.
And all I wanted was my man, Joey Sly. Joey Sly, I need you to kick a little field goal.
To break the record. Bend it like Beckham?
Oh, yeah, he bent it too much. So tonight, right now, the spread is the Patriots laying 10. I'm struggling, but I'm telling you right now, this is not a game about who has talent on the field. This is about coaches. And the Patriots are not going to get out-coached. I'm telling you right now, I will take the Patriots. I will give the points.
I'm going to take the Jets, because I think Flacco with Mims, Crowder back and Perriman. This is what we've been waiting for, to see these guys. I'm excited about Bryce Hall being activated. I want to see what he has. I don't expect him to put too much on his plate his first time. But listen, who's out there, right? Like, it's like when Mike Tyson was fighting Lennox Lewis. You got a dead man in front of you. How motivated are this team, and does Bill Belichick's message of fear finally fall flat because nobody cares, because they know that they're all out of there anyway? They heard him say, hey, we went all in for these three Super Bowls. We had no cash to spend. They know if they're there that they're gone. Stephon Gilmore knows that they tried to trade him after paying him all this money. He's the defensive MVP of the NFL, and they tried to trade him. That's how bad their finances are. And Tooney, like all these people that they've been, you know, cherry picking with are going to be gone. Some of their prodigal sons, Hightower's probably going to be gone. Talk about Patrick Chung. You thought he had a lifetime contract. So now, with all that being said, what about the little minions underneath them? They're like, man, listen, we all know how horrible it is to play for the Patriots when you're winning, if you have a one game losing streak. Yeah. What about four in a row? How about living and walking around there? They probably don't even let you in the club. They probably don't even let you, like, oh, no, you got to stand in line. What line? It's a line. You got to wait. They don't even let you in the restaurants no more. You know what I mean? Cam understands what it is when you're losing. They don't accept losing. And you know when they don't accept losing. You know how arrogant and just horrible those people can be. They almost deplorable they can become, right? How obnoxious, how arrogant they are, because they've had 20 years of just living on top. Welcome to the bottom, punks.
Is that what you're saying to our friends up in Boston in the New England area?
Yeah. Welcome. What is that? What movie is that? It was like, welcome to the bus, white boy. Welcome to the back of the bus, white boy. Like when you tell, like, now you get to see what it feels like to be bottom. Like the rest of us. Now you get to see. Welcome to the bottom, Boston.
Boston, welcome to the bottom from your cousin.
Exactly.
From Boston.
Yeah, come on down.
Is that what this is about now? Exactly. Is that what we're doing?
Exactly.
Your team stinks too.
You can get some good action.
Well, I'll tell you what about action.
We're used to it.
So you're taking the points. You're taking the Jets. I'm giving the points. I'm taking the Pats. Now, the Jets, by the way, this season are 1-7 against the spread. It's only the second worst behind Dallas, who now 0-8 against the spread. But this is the one. Now, the over-under in this game is 42. And why I bring that up is because I'm wondering where you're getting offense from on either side.
Oh, it's going to be lit up,
baby. And you think it's going to be lit up. I'm telling you right now. And the other thing is that seven of the last eight meetings between these two teams have gone under.
Yep.
So 42 is telling you already that Vegas doesn't expect it to be a high-scoring game, and you're going over? You're taking the over?
Listen, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Listen.
So you're taking the Jets, you're taking the points, you're taking the over.
This game going to be like 24-38. I mean, you're going to see stuff Monday happen. You're going to see trick plays. You're going to see, like, fumbles, turnovers. Come on, Cam turned the ball over last week. You're going to have turnovers, interceptions, you know, fake plays, fake punts. Everybody, listen. They're gonna throw everything but the kitchen sink today. Both teams desperate. Okay. Nobody wants to be embarrassed on Monday Night Football. And the Patriots, the last thing they want is to lose to the winless Jets. And the last thing,
you're gonna get out coached.
No,
I don't think it matters when you're a player. You can't control being out coached. You're gonna get out coached.
I usually don't say this, but I think the Jets have the better players, skill players. No Gilmore.
You understand winning this game, if you're a Jets fan, this anxiety starts to kick in, right? Because now you're like, what did we just do?
Right.
I want to feel good. I really do want to feel good
and
feel a win. You want to feel those things, right? But then you say to yourself, what's the cost? Jacksonville is 1-7, and they need a quarterback.
Yeah. And that's your trade partner.
Exactly. So I don't want to mess around. There is another team still with one win. I know other teams are now out of that thing, but still, Jacksonville lost again. Like that, I do not even want to think about it. By the way, earlier when we talked to Rex, you mentioned a Reggie Bush story.
Oh yeah,
and the hot sauce thing. We only have a minute.
Well, Rex,
can you tell that story in a minute?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Explain it, because it's an interesting backstory.
Okay, so you know, we were both undefeated teams. We went down there in Baltimore. We went to New Orleans. And this is when Reggie Bush was a thing. So we went down there. We had a plan for him. No matter where he went, they had this play. It was like a legal pick play. But we found a way, and Rex devised a defense that would shut that down. We beaten him up big. You know, we scoring defensive touchdowns. And, you know, we get an interception. I'm on the back on the other side of the field, kind of away from the interception, away from everybody. And I get hit in the back. and I try and get up, and then like somebody's on top of me, like riding my back. And then finally I gather all my strength, get my balance together, and I jump up, and it's Reggie Bush, and Reggie Bush puts his hands up. So I go to the sideline. Everybody there has a smile on their face. I'm like the one on Goodfellas. I'm like the guy when Sonny, everybody's having fun. I'm the guy with the frown on my face. I tell him, hey, yo, Rex, call cover one. He's like, what's wrong with you? I said, call cover one, damn it. He's like, all right, man. Cover one means I have Reggie Bush. Every he goes. So I start hitting Reggie Bush. I start hitting him, chasing him. And he said, Ray, get your boy. He's crazy, man. Get your boy. So then afterwards, I hit him with a gator roll. And then he faked the injury to get out of the game because he was scared of me. And then so after the game, I said, because we were in New Orleans, I said I put a little hot sauce on it. Reggie Bush filed a complaint with the NFL to try and get me suspended. He said I hurt him on purpose. So then later, at the end of the year, I saw him like in Vegas. And he ran. And I had to tell him, like, Reggie, I'm not going to fight you like in the streets. It's like, I was on the field, bro. It's over.
Still
it's
work.
Okay.
What is that? I'm like, just you going to Rex and saying, like, you know, I'm covering him. I just want to beat him up. That we had to tell that story. We had to get that story
out. Boy, he's crazy.
All right, it's just 1 hour of Bart and Han for you, but we appreciate everybody for tuning in. As always, Greeny next, Bart. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Han. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.